Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Late stage syphilis! Air horns. Dan will give us air horns. Right here, right here. Air horns. Wow. That was a lot of buy-in. I felt good about that. Good. It was nice to be part of a team.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Who are we? What are we doing here?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Two. Hi, this is Worst Year Ever. I'm Cody Johnston, a person speaking. There are other people that will speak today as well.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's true. My name's Katie Stoll. I'm one of those people speaking today as well. And you are Robert Evans, I believe.
That is technically correct.
And today we are talking about some of the silliest things of this year, which is a silly year, like all the years from now on until the end of time.
This is the silliest year ever.
Yes.
Wacka wacka.
How's
everybody doing today?
I'm great, actually.
You're great.
I'm great. I'm doing great. Everything
great
seems fine. I'm optimistic.
Good.
Hey, that's great. Have you been feeling that way for a while, or is that just like you slept well last night? You jumped out of the bed with a little pep in your step. The birds are chirping kind of vibes.
Yeah, I think it all started to turn around for me last night when I watched the original Gene Wilder and Zero Mostel version of The Producers.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, man. Gene Wilder. That was the guy we got. We got a lot of Gene Wilder, considering how few Gene Wilders there are in the universe.
Yeah,
he's been kind of on a good role for a while since then.
Oh, I love that. That's a really sweet and treasured thing that you just shared with us, that Gene Wilder has made your life such a good place.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's improved all of our lives.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. He certainly has. Cody, to answer your question, I don't feel good.
Oh.
Boo,
and I'm here. Sophie kept saying, you can not record. And I said, no, I'm going to record. I'm just going to complain about it. So
that's professionalism right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's
exactly.
Yeah, for the record, I said,
that's the American dream.
Well,
still having
to work
and then complaining about the whole time.
Health first. And Katie was like,
this is Katie's Battle of the Chosen Reservoir.
Here I am.
Look, it's kind of like, it's internalized capitalism is what it is. It's this pressure of feeling like I'm not dying. I'm working from home. I'm in my computer. I've got a space heater at my feet.
Mm-hmm.
I've got variety of beverages. I'm basically just sitting here doing what I would do if I wasn't working, you know? So,
I was going to say.
That hurt my throat.
Took
doing
the word right
that.
Out of my mouth.
Cody, you go. How are you?
I'm fine. I got a bit of a headache, but who doesn't these days? You know?
Yeah.
Robert.
Not me, baby. I took 50 cc's of Gene Wilder. And also Zero Mostel. Also great.
Yeah, also also great.
Mm-hmm.
So overshadowed by Gene Wilder.
Maybe I'll watch
some
films.
If you want to see a good Zero Mostel moment, you can find on YouTube him at, I believe it was the Tonys, doing, because he was, I think, the original Tevye in Fiddler, doing If I Were a Rich Man, and it's fucking incredible. Absolutely the best version of that song. Sorry.
I believe it.
Should we put that in the episode right here?
Yeah. We'll put the entirety of Zero Mostel singing If I Were a Rich Man Tonys.
And then just pop in the audio from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Just the entire
My God, you're right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, God,
now
what
we've
a
got
great movie.
I mean, we've got... Let's just take other people's work and put it in this podcast, and that's our episode.
Yeah, well, we're trying to survive the worst year ever. So, one way to do that is just,
I mean,
listen to a podcast that is actually an entire movie.
Yeah, listen to a podcast that's the entirety of A Funny Thing Happened on the way to the forum. They can't be watching that copyright. We could get away with it.
Yeah, no, there's no way.
There's never been
the
podcast version of it.
Yeah,
so
this just turns into Kazaa.
Yeah, no problem.
But for
all right,
musicals?
Guys, here's all of Linkin Park.
The jumble of letters is the title of every episode.
You get a virus on your phone when you download it.
I think this is a winning model,
of
right?
Of music.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah? Yes? Oh.
Where we go. Yeah. Now, did you see what I did there?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Oh, right.
Well, you didn't have to talk about the news of this week. Yeah, and I'm sorry that everybody collectively remembered at the same time the terrible news that we're going to start off.
Oh, man, the Astroworld shit.
Oh, Robert just caught up.
Yeah, I'm pulling up my research here. Yeah, that's fucked up. So this weekend, there's this guy called Travis Scott. If you don't, if you're not as you know up on the kids and youth culture as I am, I'm very connected.
I-Y-K-Y-K.
Poggers means. I even know that they're moving from poggers to just pog. That's real bleeding edge. A lot of people don't know
that's
that.
That's gonna be rough for me.
It's gonna be tough for a lot of people. This is gonna be the great change of our time. But Travis Scott, very popular. Hip-hop musician, a Houston native. He dropped a couple of years ago, like his big album, his breakthrough, was called Astroworld, and it was named after the Houston Six Flags that was no longer there, but like he grew up in Houston. It was named at, like he named his album, and he named like this festival that he started for that album that he's done every year since. He's done it, I think, three or four times. Called it Astroworld. And so like part of the idea, and this matters for some of what's coming next. Part of like the idea of the aesthetics of the festival is that aspects of it kind of mimic that old Six Flags that he remembered going to when he was a kid. And that was a big part of just like local Houston culture. So he's also like a piece of shit. Like Travis Scott is a bad person. And there's been a lot of evidence about that for years, among other things, like his old manager, the guy who this is all on record. The guy who like faked a bunch of down, like put together like a fake bot network to give his music on Spotify a ton of downloads at the start of his career to like raise his profile. Like his manager, who's hugely responsible, had like a seizure one day while they were all together and like passed out and was dying. And Travis Scott just bounced, just was like, I'm fucking gone. Like just left. Yeah. There's other shit. Like there's video of him, he's crowd surfing. Someone tries to take his shoe and he orders the crowd to fuck them up. And the crowd does. He likes a lot of moshing. He likes the crowd to be like really aggressive and out of control. But it's not like, so does Rage, except for, you know, Rage Against the Machine, like, they take a lot of care. Like they're paying attention to what's going on in the pit. They have stopped shows or they've like called out when somebody's in trouble. Fucking Post Malone does that. Most musicians for whom shows like that are a part of like the culture around their music take a lot of care. Like, I mean, and the ones that don't, they're generally are responsible for tragedies.
Like
and that's what happened here.
Attendees do too. Like, it's not just the musicians, like people that participate in mosh pits understand the deal.
And I think some of this is just like Travis Scott is not doing the kind, hip hop is not as much like, does not have a moshing tradition like punk does, you know?
Right.
I think that what happened was a surprise for a lot of the people that, especially this is a very young, skewing audience, a lot of younger kids. I mean, I know that mosh pit culture, maybe people understand that and protecting and looking out for each other, but this is,
I think it was
something else.
I think it was a mix of people who before they got into Travis Scott, maybe they hadn't done a lot of moshing, they hadn't been at concerts like that, but also the fact that his level of the bands that people mosh to, with some exceptions, like more of that is done at like kind of at a lower level of fame. So you don't have 50,000 people. And ultimately, most of the problems came down to like the sheer density of people in the room. And it's one of those things where I think you actually like, regardless of how used to or not used to the people were, there's a point with a crowd situation at which human choice from the people who are in the crowd surge is meaningless because at a certain level of density, and I think it's about like 7 people per square meter, it stops mattering the decisions people make as much as the rules of fluid dynamics. So there are like waves in crowds like that and contractions. And at high enough, like 11 or 12 people, I think, per square meter, when you have enough density, among other things, like one of the things that can happen in a dense enough crowd, it's not people getting trampled that kills them. It's asphyxiation. So it can get so dense that you breathe out and you can't breathe back in.
I guess it's just that everybody has surged into one area, but it's like the attendance of the space, because there were warnings there.
Yeah.
there was a whole document, and people were aware that this could potentially be literally fatal. There's prep documents.
Yeah, and one I would recommend that I read today is The Causes and Prevention of Crowd Disasters by John J. Fruin, who is a PhD in like crowd safety dynamics.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is well known, and you shouldn't have an event of that size.
Right.
If you're not coming in prepared. And there's stuff that people are like criticizing the venue and the event for that isn't reasonable. Like an article dropped today where they're like, their code word for dead people over the radio was Smurfs, which is actually completely reasonable.
Well, because you don't want to be freaking people out.
Exactly.
About, the whole point of the code word is to create, is to use something that's not going to cause chaos.
Like it's not mockery. It's not like dismissal.
But I shared that article with you guys because the context of preparing and planning for this, to me, I just don't understand how, knowing that this is a possibility, then it does happen and you see it happening and nobody's stopping the show. You know,
we don't. And again, we're reporting on the, or we're talking about this. We're not reporting
on it. There's not facts yet.
Yeah, there's some, but there's not, like, one of the things that people are talking about that I think is credible and that we may find there's something to it is that the venue, certain things like where the water stations were and where the egress points were, had been changed around and reduced in a way that negatively affected the crush of the crowd in order to clear angles for live stream cameras. and we don't know that that's the case, but it's something that's like people should be like, there's going to be like a full investigation into this. So I think we'll eventually understand exactly what happened. But a lot of it is just that, like, when you have a crowd this dense, you shouldn't have a crowd this dense. You just shouldn't.
Right.
We know the density of people and the amount of space that's necessary to safely hold people at an event like this. And part of it is like stadium seating festival seating is a big problem, which is just where people are able to, you don't have an assigned area. You just kind of try to get as close as you can, which leads to groups of people because crowds are made up of small groups, all kind of trying to independently get as far forward. And then when things go badly, get out at the same time.
I mean, I've certainly never been in anything like that, but I've been in a crowd of people at a concert pushing forward and feeling carried by your away. And can't even imagine having that crush of people coming down on you.
It feels like, it's like an undertow.
Yeah.
And everybody's losing perspective. And
Yeah. And it's, if you ever do find yourself in a situation like that, there are a couple of things you can do. One thing, this one is the more obvious one. You want to try to avoid falling over if at all possible, but that's not always doable. And in certain densities, one of the best things for you may be to take to a hardened fetal position with your kind of like arms up around your head down on, if you're going to get down on the ground, which can preserve a bubble of air for you. There's people who have survived in crushes where like hundreds asphyxiated. And one of the things that's really fucked up about this, if you read into like crowd disasters, this is a small one. Like when you talk about like there was this one a few years back in Mecca where there were two crowds heading towards each other at the same time, and they got stuck in this one kind of choke point area during like the Hajj, and 2,300 people died in a crush. It was like a 9/11 like level thing. But it happens a lot in concerts and stuff. This is not nearly the first time that this has happened. And that's why it's so unacceptable that it happened this time, because it hasn't happened. You haven't seen a lot of cases like this in the U.S. recently. Like one of the big ones in 1999 was in Cincinnati, Ohio, which was a 10,000 person venue, and 11 people died. In 1991, there was a music festival in Salt Lake City, where three people died. I'm not quite sure how big that festival is, but I think they were both fractions of what Travis Scott had out. And they, you know, the people responsible for planning this, like there's a degree to which I think Travis's culpability is in the way he continually urges the crowd to ignore security. You can make a point about like the fact that he didn't recognize it was serious when he saw emergency lights in the audience.
Has a history of this. It's not like this is new to him.
He's
it's not
been
that
arrested
he didn't
for this before.
And so that feels unconscionable.
It is unconscionable. Like it's also I think
I don't
honestly,
know if he's liable like legally, but
well. It kind of depends in part on his relationship. Like, it's his festival. So I don't know the extent to which the venue was the one making plans for stuff like crowd management. Like, is that something the venue said, hey, you just bring the people in, like, it's our job to do crowd management? If that's the case, then his liability is, I think, significantly reduced. But a lot of people had to fuck up for this to get so bad. And it's but it's also the kind of thing that, like, this happens. It's happened consistently throughout history. It happens at religious events. It happens in malls. It happens during natural disasters. It happens during fires. It happens during, you know, for a wide variety of reasons, and it will always keep happening. And the best thing that can be done is people try to, you know, when something like this happens, make changes as a result from it. If people are criminally negligent, you know, make sure that they're not in a position to be working at an event like this in the future. Yada, yada, yada. There's a number of things to be learned from this. What's frustrating about it is kind of what's been happening in the wake of it with this little satanic panic we're
having. I was going to say, speaking of religion, do you want to talk about the all-powerful Satan?
Yeah. I think that's the more,
So before we talk about the all-powerful Satan, here's another form of Satan. Advertisements.
Oh, nice.
Cody. Does that work?
That was
Am I allowed to say that?
For that? I doubt it.
Welcome to the worst year ever.
And we're back.
And we are back.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we are here to
have come to back.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have come to back. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome
hi.
To back.
Now Welcome let's talk to... about a satanic panic, shall we?
I do
right,
love
that's
Satan.
What we were
going to
pick up.
Yeah. That's where we'll pick up.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen a lot of TikToks that are pretty silly.
Have you?
Yeah, one was about how before the show they played the so-called fear frequency, which is a frequency that allegedly
makes
you anxious.
Scared.
Makes
you scared.
Scares you.
Is this like the Havana syndrome?
I mean, kind of, in that like it's like not a scientifically like proven thing viable theory. And they like just played like the music that was playing beforehand, and it was that like like it was just very fast, like sort of like, you know, the kind of bullshit you'd hear before a concert that I would agree is like unpleasant. But the
one's arguing with that.
Yeah, but
part.
Like the alleged fear frequency is like it's like 19 hertz, I think, which is like you can't hear that. Like, the human ear is incapable of hearing that frequency. So, like, I don't know how you can listen to music go, and then go, that's the fear frequency. Because what they're just saying it's, like, unpleasant, it seems like.
Yeah.
But my guess is that they didn't purposefully play the fear frequency so that it would rile the crowd up and make them all scared.
Yeah,
I think that's
like
a good
my little pet.
Yeah,
guess.
I would guess that I don't think anyone's even adequately proven that the fear frequency can work in that kind of way at that kind of scale.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Yeah, like it's one thing. Like I've heard stories that like maybe that a lot of ghosts are related to the fact that like there's hertzes that you know that are unsettling to us, and they occur as the result of pipes vibrating in places, and it just people keep getting spooked out, and that's where a lot of ghost stories come from. That's like, sure, maybe. The entire crowd, because also, again, the thing is, it's not about, one of the things the study I cited earlier goes into, a lot of these disasters are not because people panic, and in fact, panic is not the most common reason this happens. The crowds are made up of groups of individuals that within the context of that group and their awareness of their surroundings tend to make rational decisions that are oriented to the safety of the group. The problem is that the nature of a crowd like that means that a bunch of different groups of people all trying to make what are the best decisions available leads to these chaotic disasters where people get the air sucked out of their lungs or, you know, trampled or whatever because of how large packed groups of people work, because you're not a group of people anymore. You're a fucking flood, you know? It's different.
I'm not So it's not the panic. Frequency thing.
It's not 19
yeah,
hertz.
It's they're not scaring people with spooky noise so that they...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's... anyway, not that I'm saying the crowd... This crowd was... Because crowds do panic, and that can also cause these situations, but...
Panic at the disco.
Yeah, that's not the reliable, necessarily, way to cause a crush. Putting 50,000 people inside of a fairly small area with not enough good exits, not enough water stations, and a shitload of drugs is a great way to have this happen.
Yeah.
Right. Those are the things that happen at concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Or Satan's involved, who knows.
Like people OD at these events. It's not an uncommon thing. They have a lot of plans for it, and when you have... For every person who's getting high enough to OD, there's 1,000 more who are getting pretty close to that line, but they managed to, like, keep right below it, which, again, complicates crowd management, and you know that going into it. You know that a Travis Scott crowd is going to be the size of a small city, and everybody's going to be fucked up, and you take that into account. Otherwise, you don't do it. Anyway, it's frustrating. It's frustrating that, like, people are turning this into, like, satanic panic nonsense.
It was like intended and they wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
It was like all this
more to this whole conversation. I don't have it all in front of me, but what are the other things? There was talking about what he was wearing and
One of the big things for them is so on the you enter the venue apparently through like a big fake Travis Scott head. Like through the mouth. And people are like, there've been like screen grabs from like frames of Metropolis at the Temple of Moloch and like other places like Temples of Moloch, which I guess tended to have a face. You entered them through a face, at least in like the media these people watched. And they're like, see, this is a ritual to Moloch, which is big among this crowd. He's like, no, the devil's like, everybody knows about the devil. If you start talking about they're worshiping Moloch, it just seems
the real
better.
Shit is Moloch. Yeah.
That's into like the Bilderberg group conspiracies, bunch of shit. So, there's this conspiracy that like, it was the head of Moloch. This was all like a dark ritual, and that's why. The reality is that the Astroworld Six Flags that Travis Scott clearly loved as a kid and is patterning his event from, the big slide, this huge Texas slide that was like the big event, you entered the line through it by walking through the mouth of a giant head that was like
Seems pretty
head.
Obvious.
And he's like, yeah, it's the thing he's doing. It's
yeah.
like the,
it's called
the thing
Astro
that he's
World,
been doing.
But
yeah.
even if that's not a specific... thing that he's drawing from, it is
right.
a giant head that you walk through to enter.
I've been through a thousand.
It's fun houses.
You walk through Woody's head to get into the Pixar store. Like something could be said about like Disney being satanic, but not in the way that they're talking about. It's just nonsense. Like there's just like these rituals built into. You're crossing the threshold to like no, it's just a giant head.
It's just a big head.
Isn't it neat? Aren't we like human beings? Aren't we like what if it's a giant head we walk?
What if it's
through?
What if it's a big head we walk through? Fuck it. Yeah,
that's
I walked
like
through a couple of big heads. At the,
do, like, we are capable of making a giant head as a doorway. Yeah. What if we did that?
What if we made a big head doorway? That'd be neat. What if it looked like a dragon's mouth?
Wow. Yeah. Dragons,
yeah. That'll be
cool.
Fucking rad. That'll be a great way to introduce this White Snake concert.
What if we have fire involved? Ah, fire's the devil. No, fire's just like a thing we all
people
use.
People like to look at things that are fire. People love fire.
It was the first television.
It was the first
fire.
Thing we ever invented.
Like, you fucking look at the fire and images pass through your brain. It's just nonsense and ridiculous and
nobody, when the fucking, there was that nightclub fire at like 2001 or two where like the band's pyrotechnics set the whole room on fire and like a fuckload of people died.
Yeah.
It was like, nobody was like, oh, it was a devil ritual. They were like, oh yeah, it was too many people crammed into a tiny dank bar without functional exits and the walls were covered in paper cladding that you could light on fire really easily.
Right.
So everybody died.
Right. Like people due to many, many factors, spectacle and shiny things and bright lights and loud noises. And that's what we do oftentimes at these big events. And it's not because we're worshiping some sort of satanic. It's not always because we're worshiping the saint. It's not always. Sometimes.
And I feel like if that's what this is, I would have been given the memo. Should we talk about Josh Hawley?
Let's talk about Josh Hawley.
Is he against Satan?
No.
No?
Is he?
Oh, maybe. No, he's not pro Satan. He's against Satan.
Okay.
Unless Satan happens to be a real manly man, in which case he's for it.
Oh, okay.
Senator Josh Hawley wants to make masculinity a signature political issue. You know, basically saying that the left is telling men that you're part of the problem and your masculinity is inherently problematic. You know, you're spending too much time on video games and porn. That's a fun.
This is so much about this is like
lay it on
it's
me.
Just well, it's just interesting that like the satanic panic stuff is going on, and now we have this like video games and like it's all kind of the same stuff. Expressed differently.
Well, I mean, it's totally is. It's, you know, yeah. Go ahead.
No, that's it. I just think Josh Hawley's a silly person, a silly man.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not the bastion of masculinity that he would like to be the messenger of this.
All of these guys, they're all doing a Ron Swanson, right? Like that's what they decided back in I don't know, like whenever that show was on, was like. I have to smoke the cigars. I have to like scotch. I have to do woodworking. Tucker Carlson's dude, like that's why he's got this photo shop.
All the Daily Wire guys, shop. If you watch like, any of their videos, it's all like leather chairs and a fireplace, and they're all pretending to smoke cigars.
Yeah.
What this really feels like is. Okay, let me read this. As conservatives, we've got to call men back to responsibility. Hawley said, we've got to say that spending your time not working, spending your time on video games, spending your time watching porn online is not good for you, your family, or this country. Can we be surprised that after years of being told that their manhood is the problem, more and more men are withdrawing into the enclave of idleness and pornography and video games? So what this really feels like to me, I mean, there's a lot of stuff here, but it's another way of saying all of these problems we have with society are because the liberals are making you not feel good about yourself.
Yep.
Well, right. And like,
instead of saying like, no, people are depressed because we actually have a culture of toxic masculinity where men don't speak to each other, where men don't feel like it's okay to cry or to have problems or to admit that they need help.
Yeah, right,
we're more atomized and like we're disconnected, even though we're like quote connected and stuff. And there are a lot of things going on, and like the idea. I'm curious, so my thing with Josh Hawley and these like all these guys specifically are like, then what do you propose?
Yeah.
Because it seems like he just wants to be a fucking Jordan Peterson and like give talks about masculinity and like how to like show responsibility, which is fine, go do that. But you're trying to be a lawmaker or the president one day, probably, but you're a lawmaker. So what do you propose? What are you saying then that you want to do if it's not just this sort of like motivational
bullshit? How is this a political
issue
for you?
I mean, it's
ban porn. Like,
this is just how the Republican Party functions now, because for the last entirety of our adult lives, every major policy they've pushed for has been disastrous, bordering on calamitous. And like after the financial crash in 2008. They kind of stopped being able to pretend we have policies that are going to help people, which is why the culture war has become such a big deal. Because they have two levers. They have hurt a specific group of people, or they have yell about whatever the left is doing. And it's actually harder sometimes to hurt specific groups of people than they want to deal with. So yell at how the left is fucked up is like the number one thing they can do.
Yeah, it's all they have.
Yeah.
There's a and maybe get into this a little later with the relations of all the money going into these people. But like in some more news episode this week, we talk about a little bit about Blake Masters is another one of these Hawley weirdos. And it's the same sort of thing where like you have to demonize the left and do this culture war stuff and point to every once in a while you point to a real problem. But your diagnosis is off. Your analysis is off. And you can't actually do the solution. Like, he'll talk about, like, oh, it should be good to, like, raise a family on one income. We should be able to do that. But the left says it's sexist. Like, well, no, Elizabeth Warren wrote a book on it. Like, the left doesn't think that, like, you shouldn't have a living wage. What the fuck are you talking about? But he can't, I know. But he can't take it to the next level of saying, like, and therefore we should raise the minimum wage.
Right.
And, like, do all of these things that his party actually doesn't want to do. So, like, with Holly, it's like you're just saying this to get your little points, but you don't actually have any solution for it. You're not saying what you want to do.
But you also don't really have a point.
Well, that's the other thing, obviously, because, like, when
there's
they want you to hate being a man. It's like, well, no, you're not actually taking what anyone is saying at face value, or, like, really hearing what they're saying about the toxic aspects of masculinity. And there's, like, toxic femininity. There's all, like, toxic everything. And by pointing that out, you're not saying everything is bad, but they have to say it like that.
Like, here's an example of toxicity. If the strictures by within which someone can be considered a proper man are so narrow that it basically boils down to a series of aesthetics and an attitude that can never be broken, then maybe you'll be forced to do things you hate, like smoke cigars all the time on camera so that people believe it. And you spend the rest of your life insecure because you don't actually like any of these things that you have to like to be a man.
Yeah, you have to like them.
Woodworking's hard, and there's other fabrics than leather, and scotch makes my tummy hurt. And I know scotch makes all of their tummies hurt.
Of course
it does.
And that's fine. Not everyone has to like scotch. I don't like gin. Like, it's whatever.
That's okay.
Gin is awful.
Yeah.
And just because I'm a lady doesn't mean I have to like a gin and tonic.
No.
Toxic too.
There's a number of things to hate about the gin and tonic, including all of the English lives they saved. But that's a story for another day.
That's no time for that.
Yeah.
It's very that is a great example where it's like you're just like you're forcing yourself into this box you don't have to live there. You don't have to live there. Okay.
Tucker, like, I have seen people who do woodworking compulsively, and I've seen their shops. They don't look like yours.
You're a little fancy garage you got there.
Yeah. You paid someone to set it up.
Everything. He's just so clearly concerned of not seeming masculine enough.
They all are, but Holly.
Well, I think there's differences to me because I don't think Tucker is concerned with the fact that Tucker is very consciously like, oh, this will be the best marketing thing.
Oh, yeah. He's very comfortable with fancy skin.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying. I agree. I think Holly, matters to Holly. Yep. I think Ben Shapiro got picked on. Yeah.
Ben Shapiro, too. You guys see that picture of him kissing his wife?
Of course.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't call that a kiss, Katie.
That's not a fucking kiss.
Let's not spread fake news.
Josh Hawley did not kiss his wife. Yeah,
that is the
your
kiss
grandparents.
You give your grandma. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
in
your
public
lip,
when you don't want to be embarrassed.
I responded to Chase's original tweet. It's like his lips are curling inward. That's the reverse of the kiss.
It's that episode of The Office where Michael Scott forces a kiss on Oscar, and it's just like he's constantly pulling back from it.
Josh Hawley kisses his wife the way Ben Shapiro smokes a cigar.
Yep, that's really perfect, Robert.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Poetry.
Episode title.
It's like we talked about this in our Stephen Crowder episode recently, too. Like, he clearly is like a musical theater kid.
Yeah.
And just wants to do, like, I want to do parodies of West Side Story and, like, be a part of this and, like, do shows. But he knows, like, well, I gotta wear my gun holsters, and I gotta smoke a cigar, and I gotta drink this stuff.
Yeah,
it's like Steven Crowder
only posing with a shoulder holster.
Right. Do your little costume stuff. Do your songs. It's fine.
It's just a little boy in a dress-up box.
You can be manly, whatever that means to you, and still do that. Look at Channing Tatum. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, nobody questions Channing Tatum's masculinity, because he's Channing Tatum.
Well, why would you?
Yeah.
Take a look at him.
Yeah, he's nothing to hide. He doesn't hide much.
We're joking,
Mr. Tatum.
He doesn't hide much.
It's all just very it's very performative and silly. And like again, like Josh, you're a senator. What are you proposing? Like, are you gonna like? Is it like you want to like force men into like a specific type of service to show them responsibility? Do you want to ban porn? Do you want to what are you proposing beyond just like Jordan Peterson talk and I want to be him? Sorry, Robert, go ahead.
The unsettling part of this is always the unsettling thing with fascists, which is that they say bullshit because it gets them likes from the beginning. And that's what they do. And then when they wind up in power, they're like, oh shit, we have to do it. How do you do it? You know?
Right.
That was a big thing with the Nazis. And like, well, it's a problem. So like, say Josh Hawley gets into power, logically, it's the same thing with like some of the shit Jordan Peterson says. Well, if you're saying you as a man shouldn't be playing video games because you should be working all the time, is there a level at which you mandate it? We have certainly had legal requirements that people be employed in different parts of this country at different periods of time, mainly to oppress black people. But like, that's the extent of what you're saying, Holly.
Is that the logical next step of what you're saying?
You literally make the government regulate how people spend their time so that men are doing manly things.
Right. Otherwise, you just want to be a motivational speaker. Yeah. It's like, fine, go do that.
Your potential mental health issues are because the left are making you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, not that like
is the other part of this.
You can't,
not that there's not that there's something wrong culturally or socially, or that we've just been through a pandemic, continue to be in one, or you know, you can't afford. There's
where
to
there's
pay for
no
your
hope for
anything,
your generation, where you'll never be able to
Here
own a home. You know,
that's a good concise way of putting it.
Where you've had 11 jobs in 4 years,
but
and
no, it's none of none
verbally
of
abused
other
by half your employers. Yeah. Like
none of that's the problem. No. It's the left.
Yeah,
it's the left.
It's not that like escapism is a good escapism is a reasonable thing to do to try to deal with the world the Republicans have doggedly insisted we not change.
Yeah, for decades and decades.
For decades
and continue
and decades.
To not change despite whatever.
It'll trickle down eventually. Don't worry. Don't worry.
It's not.
Are we going to build back better?
Yeah, it's not that you're frustrated because you love musical theater and you fucking hate cigars, but you feel the need to, I don't know, listen to AC/DC and smoke Macanudos because you want your friends to see that you're a man.
Yeah, it's fine. Just go like have a nice cold glass of water or milk and listen to your show tunes. It's okay.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
We got to take a break.
Yeah.
For advertisements.
You mean we get to take a break?
As they say across the pond, we get to take a break.
We get to take a break.
We get to take a break.
Welcome to ever, we'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb.
All right, we are
back, babe.
Motherfucker.
So before we get into some other stuff, here's some other stuff. I do think it's related to the Hawley of it all and this sort of like taking a thing that's like true and then warping it to be like, oh, look what the left is saying, and then like it fizzles apart. Our favorite guy, Mayor Pete was talking recently about you know, infrastructure bill and where money's gonna go and highways and stuff, and he mentioned some of the racism that went into the construction of our highway system.
Cody, this was a really good transition. Sorry.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Continue.
And he said, here's just the quote. If an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach in New York was designed too low for it to pass by, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. To which a bunch of disingenuous freaks like Ted Cruz, for example, would just like respond like, roads are racist. We got to get rid of roads. Because he's just a complete clown full of shit, man, who doesn't believe in anything other than attention and power. And well,
you go. You finish your thought.
That's it. It's just bullshit because obviously, like, this is a true thing.
It is a true thing.
You
it's
look
just,
into like Robert Moses specifically.
His best friend wrote about it.
Yeah, I'll just read it. Like, in a biography of Moses written by a best friend of his, states the construction of bridges and overpasses were designed too low for buses to pass. Bus trips, therefore, had to be made on local roads, making the trips discouragingly long and arduous. For Negroes, whom he considered inherently dirty, there were further measures. Buses needed permits to enter state parks. Buses chartered by Negro groups found it very difficult to obtain permits, particularly to Moses' beloved Jones Beach. It's just like a thing that happened.
I've got
that
one
went
more.
Into it.
Please, I'm going to read from a Bloomberg article.
Hell yeah.
A Bloomberg article.
Bloomberg 2024.
And this is somebody that's trying to push back slightly on it, but still, that's just context. There is little question that Moses held patently bigoted views, But to what extent were these prejudices embedded in his public works? Very much so, according to Caro, who describes Moses as, quote, the most racist human being I had ever really encountered. The evidence is legion. Minority neighborhoods bulldozed for urban renewal projects. Simeon-themed details in a Harlem playground. Elaborate attempts to discourage non-whites from certain parks and pools. There's more that I would read, but it's actually offensive. I mean, all of it's offensive.
Exactly.
But quotes. Right, so like, you get the point that this is not something that's just like some liberal theory. This is a well-documented...
yeah, it's just literally a thing that
happened. Person who built the city of New York.
And if we're talking about the structures that in which we live and the society which we have created for ourselves...
The infrastructure,
people who did that,
you would say?
Yeah, the people who had a large hand in that construction... were, you know, many of them were racist, and many of their impulses and plans were
Cody, that implies some sort of racism with structure, racism of a structure, structures that the racism that's in the, it's like a Reese's Pieces, but of racism and
the, I still don't
infrastructure
follow.
That governs our daily lives.
I feel like there's no term that would
be
descriptive enough for that.
Well, clearly we're the first people to have this idea. We should really get on the horn with the
world. Yeah, we need to call some people and tell them to figure out how to fucking talk about this. It's so frustrating. Like, just to see, like, you're a fucking senator, and you're like, oh, so the roads are racist? We gotta ban the roads.
Yeah.
Well, then how can anyone take you seriously if that's just, like, how you react
but,
to
but that's all
kind of
you
thing?
Do, because you don't...
It is.
There's no, like, this idea that was, like, sold to me when I was a kid, that there's, like, this is the great, you know, it's what the West Wing leans on a ton. It's, like, this is the great debate between, you know, left and right that plays out within, you know, the democracy of the United States. And, you know, sometimes one side gets something right and another, and, like, we arrive at truth by, you know, our different and differing ideas about, like, reality and seeing how they work when we institute them. And that... I don't think has ever been the case. It was just a pack of lies that was sold to us. But this makes it clear, like, Ted Cruz isn't interested in having a debate about how society ought to be structured. He's not interested in learning new things about how to more effectively govern and organize, like, human society. He's not interested in that.
No.
Because
it is
that his job is gone if he is.
Right.
Exactly. It's manufacturing.
He's like,
his
I'm not that. I'm an idiot.
Not the
but
guy
not that
I
big
am.
A one.
Yeah, that's not the guy
debate.
I am.
In an ideal world, in the West Wing world, you're not debating reality. You're not debating facts about how things happened and what happened and why they were done and the results of that. You're debating what to do about them.
Yeah.
So, like, a reasonable, honest person would go, wow, like Ted Cruz, like, straight up, if he was just like, Mayor Pete's right about this. There is racism built into the roads. That is literally what happened. And I propose we don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
That's like the honest approach. It's do something about it or don't do something about it. It's the same with climate change. Like, they couldn't argue on, like, what to do about it because the easiest thing for them to do is say it's not actually happening. So you're just debating the reality that we can all see is true and saying, like, well, actually, like, we shouldn't do anything about it because it's not happening. When what they are really saying is we shouldn't do anything about it because I need my money. I need my power.
Yeah.
I can't admit that that's true. I have to pretend it's not.
But
in an ideal world, be like, well, okay, global warming is happening. Climate change is happening. What do you want to do about it? Well, the left wants to do something about it and the right doesn't. And that's the argument that's being had. But it's
you guys
not.
I feel like broken records every week. Talking
all the time,
about...
every day.
Every day.
It's like the same problems. You have to say the same thing. Not you have, but yeah. There's what do you say?
Yeah.
Same shit over and over. Different packaging.
It's incredible. To go back to the West Wing, there's an episode of the West Wing, which my parents, who were diehard Republicans, loved, which says something about why Aaron Sorkin is maybe not so great, but whatever. So there's a fucking scene, there's a fucking episode of the West Wing where, like, the president, who's played by the guy from Apocalypse Now, but old. Martin Sheen, some people call him, yes.
Emilio Estevez's father.
Emilio Estevez's father, Martin Sheen. Emilio Estevez's dad's daughter gets kidnapped, and he temporarily stops being the president, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because he's like, I can't make a I can't like make good decisions. My daughter's been kidnapped. And because some shit's happened with his vice president, the Speaker of the House, who is a Republican played by John Goodman, takes over. And there's like this conversation between the two of them about like, you know, John Goodman's like, I never wanted to be president. This was never my ambition. And Martin Sheen is like, you know, are the Republicans, are you going, like, it's up to you to like give the presidency back to me. Like, nobody knows how it's going to go. And John Goodman's like, are you kidding? The entire country loves what you're doing. As opposed to like, if in a even at that point in time in the real world, the Republican would have called the Democratic president who stepped down because his daughter got kidnapped a fucking cuck. Like, absolutely. That's how that would actually go.
Cuck shit. Yep.
No, yeah.
I mean,
the weak Bartlett.
The West Wing is a neoliberal wet dream,
it is
really,
a fantasy. It is a ridiculous fantasy. Yeah. You, in order to make a Speaker
but
of the House.
Sure, that's an untouching moment.
Yeah. Like, in order to have a Speaker of the House be likable and not shatter suspension of disbelief into 1,000 pieces, they had to bring in all of the charisma of John Goodman, which
of John
is, right. Like, is formidable. It's good casting.
Truly
right? Like,
perfect
you
casting.
You
want to
make a likable Republican
won an Emmy
Speaker
for that
of
casting.
The House. A job that had most recently been held in the real world by a
who
pedophile.
Who straddles that line?
That's
because
right.
The,
that was like the
longest serving
one, right?
Republican Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert, was a huge pedophile.
People really just forget about Hastert entirely.
They
was the Speaker of the House.
The longest serving Republican Speaker of the House.
Always, Cody. Yeah.
That is true.
Why
fucking
would they?
Incredible.
God.
Yeah.
They don't like, leave enough space for all the pedophiles.
How do we make people forget the last one of these guys in the real world was raping kids?
Boy.
Get John Goodman
John
in here.
John Goodman, let's get him in
yeah,
here.
Get John Goodman John in here. Goodman. Nobody can think about bad things when they're looking at John Goodman, which is true.
That is true.
It's true. He's wonderful. Yeah.
I'm thinking about him right now.
Yeah.
I was too. But then I started thinking about Roseanne and I thought, does that count as thinking of something that's not so good when you think about John Goodman?
You know.
Sorry, I'm just being honest.
He was pretty funny in that movie about the Sully, but he's drunk.
He is good in everything he does.
He's always a joy.
Forgot that, like, in my mind,
he's like a coke dealer in that movie. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah. In my mind,
those two scenes
is,
are fun.
Speaker of the House in the 90s, but it was like for most of the 2000s.
Oh, yeah. When did he?
It was like,
was
he
it
left.
Really? Wait,
yeah, it was
wait,
until,
wait,
it was
really?
Until 2007.
Boy,
Jesus fucking yeah, you're right. He got sentenced in just.
But like in my mind, it's like that's Clinton shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Nope. No, like while the West Wing is going on, I guess the actual Speaker of the House for a chunk of it is fucking child molester.
Incredible.
Amazing, amazing. Good work.
Good work.
I feel like
episode of the West Wing.
This is where we should leave our episode today on this kind of. I mean, there's lots of other stuff we could talk about.
We could talk about it. We can talk about the Barry Weiss School for Prager U dropouts.
Yeah, we should talk a little bit about that. Why? Well, that's just good fun, right?
That's a little bit, yeah.
That's good fun.
It could be. It will be. It will be a lot of good fun. And a lot of people are going to make money, and then that's all that's going to happen from that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just going to, I think, probably what's going to happen, because they've already said, like, we're not accredited. Like, we can't offer degrees.
Again, classic PragerU stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just this frustrating thing that I'm going to have with this that I also have, weirdly enough, with crypto, where, like, you explain why it's ridiculous. And a lot of the reasons why this will be ridiculous will also be why higher education is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, I can't say paying to not get a degree is necessarily going to lead you to a different outcome than paying to get a degree based on the experiences a lot of my friends had. Like,
sure. I mean,
there's also
a lot of people, just
this
very
is such
successful
a,
people.
It's just such a weird reactionary thing. Like the claim that like there's no conservative like professors on any of these campuses. There's no there's no conservatism. It's not welcome. Like at all the schools, you're saying all the schools.
Well, I mean,
and
where are you getting your data?
And this is the one school. Also, like I love the idea because in their release they talk about how they're going to offer quote forbidden courses.
Yeah.
You really want to know what those are.
What is that?
What courses
are
forbidden? Because if it's like
wokeness?
Race science, like maybe, like I don't know what you're talking about.
It might be race. I'm sure DNA and IQ is going to be like a whole.
There's going to be a lot of IQ stuff.
Fucking hell. This one, what? Pano Canelos? is the inaugural president, put out this essay and included this fact. 4 out of 5 American PhD students are willing to discriminate against right-leaning scholars. What?
Is there like a link there? Is there a citation?
Yeah, what does this mean? No.
Dude, yeah, I don't believe that, but that's just because there's absolutely no evidence of any sort of systemic discrimination of conservatives at any point in time in American history.
Well, it's saying saying is like people discriminate against me. No, we've got to. Oftentimes, you are saying things that aren't true.
and you hurt people, and people don't like you because they've been hurt by you. Like maybe you made it impossible for them to marry for years and years and years, and so they're like, kind of fuck those people. That's not discrimination. You hurt someone and they don't. Like when I go drunk driving through the trailer park near my house and start firing my gun out of the window, the fact that people there in that park don't like me isn't discrimination. Like if I go to their smoke shop and they won't sell me a lighter, like that's not discrimination.
If you're behaving like a dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm creating problems for them and they have no desire to help me, which is fine.
Yeah, completely understand. That's the deal. That's the deal that you've made.
Yeah, yeah. This is the deal I made when I embraced the sweet, sweet joys of trade. Well, that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is going to be funny.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a funny thing. Like, I haven't seen him mentioned, but I know they're probably trying to get him for it.
Yeah.
He wanted to start a fucking church, so he's all in for this.
Wait, who?
Peterson. Steven Pinker is on the board of advisors, of course.
Peterson would at least be some sort of guest lecturer.
They've got to try something with Joe Rogan, right? Like he's their that's fucking the thing. Like, biggest player.
That's what they're
doing, bridges
right?
Like, the divide
even
for them.
Even in the release and stuff, they're talking about like Austin. If it's good enough for Elon Musk and Joe Rogan, it's good enough for us. And first of all, I love when a university is like something is good enough.
Yeah.
I love when things are good enough.
I also love that they're calling it the University of Austin. One of the most famous schools in the world is already the University of Texas at Austin. You are taking almost the exact same name as, again, one of the most prestigious colleges on the planet.
I'm surprised you even can legally.
Yeah. Like, it's a huge deal, UTA. Like, it's a massive, massive school.
Some capacity.
It looks like it. I thought people were joking and literally just posting like a UT Austin ad.
I did for a second. Then I saw it.
Yeah. Like the UT Austin has like one of the best business programs in the world. They famously rejected George W. Bush. Like he had to go to his safety school, Yale, because UTA wouldn't take him. Like it's a big deal of a college to try to ape the branding of.
It's just a very the whole thing's very silly. It does read like PragerU Part 2. They're not an accredited university. It seems like is this even going to be an in-person school? Like
Zoom thing?
It's going to be a lot of Zoom stuff, I think.
Oh, I'm also, sure like, it's Zoom.
Which Prager,
they,
Dennis
they
Prager
have a
wanted
location.
Prager, Dennis Prager wanted Prager University to be an actual like a school. He wanted to do a school. But he's like, well, that's expensive.
It's hard.
Way cheaper
there's like things
to make
you have
these
to do.
5-minute videos. Exactly. Like I can just do propaganda from the comfort of my leather chair. And so it just seems like it's going to slowly turn into that. There's this exchange between one of the people involved and this actual history professor where she was like talking
about
the Cicero thing.
Yeah.
And like the claim and it's like the claim is like, OK, well, that's not actually how it happened. The major part of the text was discovered like in 1822, well after Adams' presidency and this sort of thing. And then her response is, let's Zoom this for an audience. It would be fun and useful for displaying this kind of teaching method. And he was straight up like, not sure I understand, but I think my answer is no thank you. And she's like, well, I'm saying we have a disagreement rooted in facts and extending into conclusions. Like, this is not, like, you're saying that, like, it's kind of what we talked about earlier, where, like, you're saying that the debate needs to happen even though it's because you're wrong. Like, the claim is wrong, and so you want to debate on Zoom so people can see how you're going to talk your way out of it. I don't know. It's like a weird... It's the whole approach to, like, education is very odd, and it's it's this weird
Well, it's like,
that,
who's going to argue louder? The right person will be whoever wins this argument.
And, like, the idea, just the idea that like debates don't actually happen in school,
right,
is odd to me too.
Yeah, because I remember having a bunch of debates even in fucking Texas. But yeah,
and maybe like maybe the temperature is like higher now.
We
maybe,
all know.
Yeah.
It.
Maybe these days it's a lot, you know, harder to do that. I don't know. But
yeah, because
like,
I dropped out of college because it seemed like
exactly
a drift.
It's silly.
It seemed like a giant scam to me.
but like, you know, it's not a scam. The University of Austin.
Yeah, I mean, I think the University of Austin's a huge scam. Got a lot of friends with debt from it, but it is like a big old
a
deal
legit
as a
one.
College.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see. It's just like the money behind this is very like, you
who
know,
knows?
It's like Peter Thiel shit.
Peter Thiel that one guy Lawndale.
Here's my call. Here's my call for something that's going to happen with this. If they actually go so far as to try to do Zoom classes, they're going to have to come up with something to do in person so that they don't get accused of wanting to take COVID precautions.
Mm.
Like, they're going to have a way that they cannot all be masked and all be together.
Well, if they don't have a physical space yet.
Most people are going to be like, well, so you guys are like
cucking
the Zoom class.
But if they don't have a physical space yet, they could just use that.
I might bully them over that just to try to get them to endanger themselves.
Right.
Probably shouldn't.
Also, like, it's just like this weird thing. So you don't have a physical space. You're not accredited. You don't. Like, what are the forbidden courses? Like, wait until you have that stuff figured out before you announce your little...
It does feel a little bit like the shitty kind of... Like, you wind up having a conversation with a publisher, and they're like, what are your ideas for a book? And you just throw some crap out that you're like, I'm pretty sure I could figure out how to write that. Like,
I can make this happen.
Yeah. I can shit this out. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd put like some work into it, but like I'm not like it's not concrete, but it could be. It could be very well.
Don't
be
ask me for specifics right now.
but I have them and I'll get them.
But
I'll get them
I'll
to
get
you.
Them.
I will
find
give you the
them.
Specifics. Do not worry.
And it's I don't know. You can tell so many of these guys are like failed entertainment industry people because that's a perfectly valid thing to do. It's how a lot of people make a ton of money, but you got to be better at it than this.
Like, you got to be a little better at it.
If you're doing this in the entertainment industry, you can do this and make millions of dollars, but you got to be a little bit more on the ball than this shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you got to put more time into the razzle dazzle.
That was very Matthew McConaughey. Speaking of more time into the razzle dazzle at UT. All right, that's it for us this week. You can check us out online at Worst Year Pod.
Could agree more with that.
That's true.
Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.